All right. Well, it is good to have you all here. Thank you for coming to Lifehouse Church. We have a disproportionate number of my family here. And so welcome to all the Borsets who are here to celebrate my mother's 80th birthday party. Woot! 80 years young. And so that's fantastic. So it's good to have you. Hey, Jay, can I just have that, Jay? Jay, over here, buddy. Over here, thank you. And so I've been slaving away on a message for a while, and so I knew I just wasn't going to have enough time to develop a message and deliver some heartfelt sentiments to my family. I mean, how often do you get an opportunity to talk to your family and kind of tell them what you're really thinking? Not very often. And so I went to the internet and I started looking around, and I just decided to bring in a motivational speaker. You know, I just figured I'd bring in a motivational speaker to kind of just communicate to you guys what I'm really thinking, because I just didn't have enough time to prepare. So hold on. He's been drinking coffee from Mom's new coffee maker for the last about 12 hours. So let me just grab him. He'll be right out here. So just hold on. Hey. I need you out here. Now's the time. Come on. All right, pound it down. All right, are you done? All right, great. Now, go out there. Give them what you got. I'm Tim Foley, and I am a motivational speaker to help you understand where I'm coming from. I wanted to give you a little bit of my backstory. I grew up at a farm out in Nowheresville, and we milk cows for a living. But since there's no money to be made there, my mom kicked me out, and I now live in a van down by the river. Well, I'm here to share with you some things that have been on Tim's heart ever since the brothers and sisters have been conspiring to have a surprise birthday party for Valerie. Now, I know that some of you came a long way. Some of you from Texas, some of you from Georgia, wherever. And there was some complaining. Oh, there's a lot of money here. I can't get off work. Wah. Some of you were saying, hey, I'm familiar with computers. Can we just Skype this party? Well, I have something to tell you. You don't know squat. There's nothing like being face to face, eye to eye, feeling the heat of the breath, feeling the spittle. Who here wouldn't want that? Who here wouldn't want that? Shut your yapper! That's exactly what you want. You want to know these people. You want to touch them and you want to hug them. And believe me, you can't do that with a computer, can you? Can you? That's right, you cannot. And so it's worth every dime that you paid and every minute that you spent to be here and bless your mother who worked so hard for you. In fact, Tim was thinking, this doesn't happen enough. This world is spinning out of control, and people don't even get to know each other anymore. Even family don't even care. And so I want to tell you that I think it's time for all of us brothers and sisters to sell our homes, quit our day jobs, and move back home and live with our mother. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. There's just not enough room for us all. But don't worry. I'll bring my van and I will live down by the river. So I want you guys to be thinking about that. And I'll let Tim come back up here. All right, I'll see y'all later.
He's good. I mean, he's good. I mean, I really could not have said that any better myself. So maybe some other time we'll invite Tim Foley to come in here and share another motivational speech. But for now, you guys can just reflect on those deep and inspiring words. All right. In reality, we're starting our new hero series for the summer. Every summer, we do a hero series. We focus on some hero set, some oftentimes identified by a commonality. And this summer, we wanted to do a hero series called The Faith of America's Founding Fathers. And we're starting with John Quincy Adams. Now, I know that just that sentence alone would conjure up a couple of questions. One of those questions is, why do a series on the faith of America's founding fathers and mothers, as the case may be? The other question, of course, some of you are thinking is, who's John Quincy Adams? Okay, so let's deal with those. First of all, why are we doing this series? First of all, I was inspired after watching a series of homeschool videos called Drive Through American History. Got a little picture of that, Drive Through American History. They were exceptionally well done. They were memorable. They were funny. And you're about to see that because we're going to show one of them. Okay? But the biggest thing that I got out of these videos was how critical their faith was to their life and to become the kind of man or woman who would be able to shape a nation that would soon become the greatest nation on earth. And that would not have happened had it not been for the quality of their Christian faith. That's the first reason. Second reason, since their Christian faith was foundational to forming our country, it stands to reason that the Christian faith, not partisan politics, is what will keep this country the greatest nation on earth. That means we need to imitate the exemplary example of faith exhibited by our country's founding fathers and mothers. America will continue to lose its way and to rip itself apart no matter who is elected to office if we do not hold on to our Christian roots and our Christian heritage. And so, I believe we, the Christians of the 21st century, need to imitate the example of the faith of our founding fathers and mothers. Thirdly, it is doubtful that we learned much, if any, of the stuff that I'm about to share with you. It's doubtful. And even if you did, most of us are separated from our high school experience where we have not a clue as to what that was, what was said in the American history class. It is long gone, and so we certainly need to be reminded of it. Guys, there is so much to be inspired by in these men and women's lives that I think it would be a crime to not know about it, and all the more to not imitate it. As we are told in the letter to the Hebrews, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Now, who here has heard of John Quincy Adams and knows something about who he is or what he did? About a third, maybe a half, if I'm generous. About a half of us. Okay. John Quincy Adams served America for nearly 7 decades of public service. Guys, that's close to 70 years. 70 years in various public offices. 70 years. Yeah. And as you're about to hear in this video, he accompanied and assisted his father with ambassador duties to France when he was about 11. 11 years old was when he got baptized into the public service. 11. He grew up doing this stuff. He was assigned his first solo post as ambassador to the Netherlands at age 26. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. So, We're going to watch an 11-minute video about this man's life. Now remember, this was designed as a homeschooling video, and they understand that kids these days suffer from some ADD. And so there's some humorous portions in there. Take those in stride. Just realize the humor is there to help snap the kids back into the content that's in there. So just enjoy the humor as it comes. So let's go ahead and roll the video. And that is but a mere snapshot of this man's life. He is quite the man. And there is much in his life for us to imitate. There's so much in there. It's just really unbelievable. And I encourage you guys to maybe, after this time is over, to be inspired a little bit to go onto Google and look up some of the rich resources that speak about John Quincy Adams' life. During America's early years, as we were struggling to become an established nation, during those years, that's when John Quincy Adams spent years overseas. And he was a leading American diplomat, highly respected to key nations. And so in service of duty, he was overseas a lot, but he cared deeply about his wife and his kids, who were not always able to be with him. And so even from overseas, particularly when he was in St. Petersburg, and this was in 1811, that he began to write letters to his son, George Washington Adams, and share with him how to read through the Bible in a year, and as well as how to get the most out of it. Not, you know, just how to systematically get through it, but how to get the most out of it. You see, Adams, he maintained throughout his political career, and despite incredible disappointment, incredible hardship, he maintained a strong love for God and God's Word, the Bible. He not only read it and studied it himself, he actually studied it in numerous languages. Yeah, he studied it in Greek, French, Russian, and German. Yeah. And he also became the officer and a leader of the Infant American Bible Society, which still exists today and continues to be the largest distributor of Bibles in the world. And so, guys, I wanted to share three takeaways, and I've introduced the first one. The first takeaway from John Quincy Adams' life is that if you want to do something great with your life, if you want to make a difference with your life, then make it a habit to study and obey the Bible. Make it your habit, your daily routine to read and study and do what it says. If you want to make something of your life, that's the example that John Quincy Adams gives us. When he wrote these nine letters to his son, they're later released as a book, which you can still get on Amazon.com today. You can get his book and you can read these letters. Well, when it was first published, the editors said this: "It is no slight testimonial to the verity and worth of Christianity that in all ages since its promulgation, the great mass of those who have risen to eminence by their profound wisdom, integrity, and philanthropy have recognized and reverenced in Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the living God." I realize people don't speak like this anymore, so take a moment and reread it. That 1848
book titled The Letters of John Quincy Adams to His Son on the Bible, creative title, became an instant bestseller, and I think it still has volumes to share with us in our generation today. So I encourage you to look it up. Takeaway number two. Pride will always get in the way of your personal progress in life and will injure the welfare of others around you. Wikipedia said this of John Quincy Adams. It says, after his presidency, he still felt that his career was unfinished. I mean, you had been the president. Most people think there's nowhere to go but down, and so they all retire and do speeches. But no, he felt his career was unfinished, so he ran for and won a seat on the United States House of Representatives in 1830, and his election, as was mentioned in the video, his election went against the generally held opinion shared by even his own wife and his youngest son that former presidents should not run for public office. It is beneath you. It's embarrassing to do something like that. But he did not care. He was the first president to serve in Congress after his term of office, and one of only two presidents to have ever done so. You guys know who the other president was that after his presidency ran for office and was elected to, in his case, the Senate. Does anybody know who the other person was? What? Nope, it was not Ronald Reagan. He was way too old. It was Andrew Johnson. Andrew Johnson. We might need to look up that man to find out what motivated him to do that. But John Quincy Adams didn't do it just once. He ran nine times. Nine times. He served as a representative for 17 years until 1831, when, as you saw in the video, he died in the council chambers. Yeah, that's commitment, that's determination, and that wouldn't have happened if he was proud. If he was proud, he would not have run for an office that was beneath the office of president. And our nation, whether you know it or not, is glad that he did. Because Adams was Congress's primary supporter for the establishment of the Smithsonian Institution. Has anybody ever been to any of the Smithsonian museums? Wouldn't have existed if it wasn't for John Quincy Adams. He's the one that pushed for it hard and got it established. So when you walk into any of those museums or you hear about the Smithsonian, John Quincy Adams and his love for science pushed that. But he also loved God, incredibly so. And so he was also the most prominent national leader in America who opposed slavery. He even went before the Supreme Court on behalf of the African slaves who had revolted and seized the Spanish ship Amistad. There's actually a movie made after this event. You may want to pick it up. But he appeared before the Supreme Court in 1841, and get this, he spoke for 4 hours about the evils and the injustices of slavery. And I don't know if his rationale was so convincing or if he just wore out the bench. But either way, he won. He succeeded in that case. And the court ruled in favor of the Africans who were declared free and were able to return home. His greatest, though, input was one that's very subtle. He predicted that this great union would split over the issue of slavery. And he said, he wrote that if this ever happens, which he predicted that it would, that the president could then invoke his war powers and abolish slavery, which is exactly what Abraham Lincoln did when he drafted the Emancipation Proclamation. The idea, the precedence for that was penned by John Quincy Adams. Guys, pride will always get in the way of your personal progress and will get in the way of the benefit, the welfare you can be to others. And guys, our third takeaway, I'm just going to mention it, and I'm going to leave it there, resonating in your skulls, is to simply embrace his life motto. Duty is ours. Results are God's. Do what is right, what is biblically right, and leave the results to God. Let him decide whether that's going to be a smashing success or a miserable failure. Let God make that determination. May your determination be, do what's right. Do what is right, no matter what the cost. That is the greatest example that John Quincy Adams leaves with us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for that man's life. And I know, God, even as I was reading up on him, I was reading also then about his wife, Louise. And the adage is true, behind every great man is a better woman. What an incredible woman she was. And I just want to thank you for John Quincy Adams, for Louise Adams. I want to thank you for their life and for the impact they have had on this country that we still are able to enjoy. And Lord, his example comes to us as a warning that if we don't follow in those footsteps, if we don't carry on those same passions for God's word, for what's right, then our country will lose the freedoms and the security that we enjoy. God, it is now our turn. It is now our turn to step up to the plate and to be a man, to be a woman, and do what's right in the eyes of God, whether other people like it or not, whether it's conventional or not, whether it is humbling or not, to do what is right. Help us, God, in the 21st century to get this nation back on course by imitating these examples in John Quincy Adams' life. It's our turn. This is our time. May we not be lazy, but may we follow the example of those who through faith and patience obtained what was promised. In Jesus' name, amen.